Jesus, I thank you for your sweet, gentle spirit that rests on us tonight. I thank you that you have come to meet your daughters here, that you have something that you would like to say to them. So let our hearts and our minds and our ears be open to what you would have for us tonight. Whatever we've come here with, whatever burdens we're carrying, whatever it is that is weighing on us, Jesus, I'm grateful that we can come to you and that we can bring those things to you and we can receive joy and we can receive peace. And so let praise ever be on our lips as we give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to kind of like turn this way because there's nobody over here. Thank y'all so much for coming tonight. It's always an honor to sit with y'all and see your beautiful faces and to share the word with you. I'm gonna be real honest. If I'm distracted, it's because my Spanx are rolling down. They're like, yeah, they're just, you know, slowly rolling down. So if I'm like, meh, just know that's what it is. So just being real honest with everybody. I don't know if anybody else ever has that problem. But tonight it's a problem. So there. Tonight I'm going to talk just for a few minutes out of the book of Matthew chapter 8, and it's going to be verses 23 through 27. And it says this: as he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a great storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves. But Jesus kept on sleeping. So they came and woke him up, saying, "Master, save us, we're perishing." Actually, that's not how they said that at all. I'm not going to yell at everybody, but they yelled it. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" He got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became totally calm. The men were amazed, saying, "What kind of person is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." How many has ever heard that story before? It's a pretty common story here in the Gospels. This happens another time in Matthew 14. It's two separate stories, but Jesus is on the boat with his disciples and this great storm comes. But we're going to be talking about the one out of Matthew 8. And I have 3 points quickly for everyone tonight. The first one is your purpose has an assignment attached to it. So who has heard me say, you were created on purpose, for a purpose, to impact the kingdom? If you've never heard me say that, there, you've heard me say it now. I will say it every chance that I get because I truly believe it. I believe that each one of us were formed in our mother's womb by God on purpose, for a purpose, to impact his kingdom. That means to bring other people into the kingdom with us, right? You're not here by chance. It wasn't an accident. You are here because he saw fit to bring you into this world and do something significant inside of you and through you, right? So don't take your purpose lightly. But every one of us as believers have a common purpose, and that is to go into all the world and spread the gospel. It is to share about who Jesus is. So if you're ever like, I don't know who I am or what my purpose is, your purpose and your identity is you're a daughter of the Most High, and your purpose is to let other people know about him, right? So if you're ever confused about what your purpose in life is, start there. Got it? But with your purpose, there are assignments attached to it, meaning there are specific things that you have been called, you have been gifted, you have been given the talents to go and do so that you can fulfill the assignments that are attached to your purpose. And here's the kicker. You will be held accountable for those assignments. I will be held accountable for those assignments. When God speaks to me and tells me to go do this assignment, if I'm not obedient, I will be held accountable to that because there's a person waiting on the other side of my obedience. Jesus demonstrated this with his disciples. So this particular piece of scripture that we just read, we find that they get on the boat. Prior to this, they've been in Capernaum, and when they do... Jesus does some miracles in Capernaum. They get on a boat and they go across the sea to the Gadarenes to do another assignment. So Jesus fulfilled an assignment. They get in the boat and he goes to another assignment, right? And then in Matthew 14, where this happens again, they go from the Sermon on, uh, they go from the feeding the 5,000 to the area of the Gennesaret. They go across the water from assignment to assignment. Jesus also said when he met the woman at the well in Samaria, I need to go to Samaria. I needed to get there because the Father had spoken to him to go there. There was an assignment attached to his purpose. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see this with Deborah. Deborah had the assignment to sit under a tree and judge, and then she had the assignment to go to war. And Jael had the assignment to put a nail through the enemy's head, right? Mary had the assignment to carry the Son of God. We have assignments attached to our purpose, and we are held accountable to those. But those purposes and those assignments are weighty, right? Esther had to reconcile, if I perish, I perish. We are held accountable. There were people waiting on the other side of her, obeying her assignment. There was a whole generation of people waiting for her to say, if I perish, I perish. I will go and live out my assignment. It is our duty. It is our obedience to Christ to do what we've been called to do. Your assignment can be as simple as waking up in the morning and sharing something simple with your family or a friend. Your assignment could be as big as taking a missions trip and flying across the world or flying across the country and doing a missions trip. Your assignment might be, well, I'm just going to tell you, your assignment is likely to be, one of your assignments is to serve in your local church. Your assignment might be tomorrow to talk to somebody in a coffee shop. But the only way for you to know your assignments within your purpose is for you to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was constantly listening for the Father's voice, going from assignment to assignment, to meet the people at the right place, at the right time, right where they were, to show them how much he cared and loved for them. And our job, our assignments, are to hear his voice so that we can be obedient and move from assignment to assignment. It's one thing to know that we have a purpose. It's another thing to hear his voice and fulfill the assignments that are attached to your purpose. I don't want to leave you with fluff. It feels good for me to say, you were created on purpose for a purpose to impact the kingdom. Yay! It's a real cheerleader moment. But I would fall short if I didn't tell you that there were real things required of you, just like Jesus, just like the disciples, to fulfill your calling and your purpose. There are assignments attached to that. But here's the thing, is the enemy wants to attack you and your assignments. Oftentimes he wants to bring panic, stress, anxiety. I'm not just saying these words. If you knew the stress I've dealt with today alone, Brad probably is like, dear God. The enemy wants to come in and bring waves of emotion and all of these things to distract us and make us like, oh, if I go talk to that person, they're going to think I'm crazy. Who cares? Who cares? Eternity's waiting. In this particular set of scripture, there was fear to the point of death that was invoked. And we will get to that in a minute. But there are real emotions, and we have to recognize when the enemy is coming at us with his fiery darts, and it is our job to put up the shield of faith so that we can ward them off and we can fulfill the assignment. It's not our job to know the outcome. It is our job to be obedient and fulfill the assignments attached to our purpose. In order for us to do that, we must not panic when our surroundings don't look like, when we don't feel like it, or when they don't look like we think they should. We just have to be obedient. The second thing I want to talk about tonight is the boat. The boat is the place between the assignments. If you'll put up that graphic of the lake. I love little teaching things. This is really simple and small. Maybe. Oh, there it is. Okay. So when the Bible talks about the Sea of Galilee, it's really just a lake. Did anybody know this? Or did y'all think it was a giant open sea? It's not a giant open sea. It's a lake. It's completely surrounded by the mountains on one side. You see that? A little flatter on this other side. And so this is the piece of the body of water that Jesus and his disciples traveled often to get from place to place. So they went, in this particular story, they went from Capernaum up there down to the Gadarenes here, right? It's not a far journey, but something significant happens there multiple times, right? So this is just a little teaching thing, a visual aid, because I think it's important that everyone knows what that body of water actually looks like. Okay, maybe one day we'll all can take a girls' trip to Israel and we can go sit on a boat on this body of water and then eat some fish afterwards because it's amazing. Okay, we'll pray that that happens one day. But that's the journey. It's not very long. It's not a massive body of water. Just putting that for there for reference. So Jesus traveled going from place to place all on this land. He spent most of his time up where Capernaum is, up there. But he would travel around, and oftentimes traveling by boat to get from one place to another was the fastest. But the boat in this particular story represents more than just a means of travel. It represents a sacred space that separates you, is separated them, separates us from everything for just a moment in time. The boat placed them out in the water, away from the crowds, and created space for Jesus and the disciples to just breathe, for them just to be. They could just get in the boat after feeding the 5,000 and row out, and all would just be peaceful and stand still for just a moment as they travel from assignment to assignment. It's a place that's meant to be sacred and safe. So we're going to talk a minute about, for us, what it means to get into the boat so that we can have safe, sacred spaces and have rest. So the first place I'd like to recognize is our boat. You hear me recognize, like, get in the boat, our boat moments, is sleep. Basic sleep. Every day, every night, sleep. I've ever had the opportunity to pray with you one-on-one, there is a 75% chance that I have prayed that when you lay your head down at night, that you will rest in perfect, sweet sleep, and that you will have dreams and visions from the Lord, and when you rise in the morning, you will rise to be the woman of God that He's called you to be. That is a prayer that I pray over myself, that if I have the opportunity, that I will pray over you, because He created sleep for you and I. He created that to be a boat moment for you to lay your head down at night and rest so you can wake up and be who you've been called to be. If you're struggling with sleep, oftentimes, here we'll put this, oftentimes we struggle with sleep because we're fearful, we're anxious, we're overthinking things, we're replaying conversations in our head, conversations that we've had, conversations we want to have, that we should have had. I would have told them this, or I can't believe I said that 12 years ago, and who's done that? I'm like, oh my gosh, I said that 12 years ago, and I can't believe I ever said that to somebody, right? And it pops up at night. Like, why? I don't know. But there are things that keep us up at night. But I want to remind you that God created a boat moment for you every single day for you to lay your head down and for it to be a safe, sacred space for you to get some rest and sleep. It is, if you've ever wanted to know if you're in God's perfect will, when you lay your head down at night and you sleep, you're in His perfect will, because He created that moment for you, and you don't have to worry about anything because He's taking care of everything. So if you're struggling with sleep, I want you to reconcile that inside of you with just a little bit and know that He created sleep for you and that you can rest. It's a boat moment for you. The second one is the Sabbath. It's a weekly rest. It's a commandment. It's not an option or a suggestion. How many of us think that we should have no other gods before God? How about we should not make other idols? Or we shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain? We probably should honor our father and mother, yes. We shouldn't murder or commit adultery. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't bear false witness against our neighbor. And we shouldn't covet. We all agree that those 9 things are pretty healthy for us to keep. Sometimes, number 4, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, kind of falls off the map. Right? But he created a boat moment for us every week. It says, you should work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. He created a moment, not just every night, and then he made one every night, and then he made one every week for you just to be like, ah, I can breathe. Now, the Sabbath looks different. Jesus came, and he kind of flipped the Sabbath on his head because they were like, oh, you can't heal people on the Sabbath. And he's like, watch me, right? He shook things a little bit. What that teaches us is that we have to figure out what is work and abstain from that thing, because work for you might be different than work for me. When I worked corporate, I didn't check my emails on when I considered the Sabbath. Now I might check them here and there, but now that I'm not working corporate and I'm home more, I do not do laundry from Friday night to Saturday night. That's my Sabbath time. I don't do laundry. And it's going to pile up, and I just have to say, Jesus, take the wheel, because you're going to have to get me caught up, because you said I don't have to do this today, right? You have to decide what is work for you and abstain from those things. I still go to my kids' sports things, because that is not work for me. That is a gift that I get to do, right? So he created weekly rest, a daily rest. He created weekly rest, boat moments. And then the third one is he created stillness. These might be vacations. They might just be a moment in your car. But we have to recognize when the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, breathe just a second. Step into the boat with me and rest. Pull away from everything for just a moment. Come out into the water with me and let's just rest for just a moment. These boat moments are sacred because we need them from assignment to assignment. We need to have these moments of restoration so that we can fulfill and hear God's voice the way he would like us to hear it, so that we can do the next thing that he's calling us to do. Jesus got on the boat and he laid his head down and he went to sleep because he valued the sacred gift of being recharged between his assignments. But here's the other part of that. Sometimes there are interruptions in the middle of our rest. There was a storm that came and didn't disrupt Jesus, because he knew that he didn't need to be disrupted, but shook the disciples. As a mom, I fall asleep at night. I go through my prayer at night and I lay down, and because oftentimes I have to pray, Jesus, cover, your grace has to cover everything that I can't control, or I'll overthink everything at night. So I have to pray this little prayer, and I lay down and I go to sleep, but then sometimes in the middle of the night I'm interrupted by it's not less of a tap, it's more of a, and there's like this being is like hovering, and it's like, ugh, scares me. And one of my kids is like, I can't sleep, or I don't feel good. And while I may be exhausted, if my son didn't wake me up, I would be so sad that if he needed me in the middle of the night and he didn't come get me, it would break my heart. Because when they come and get me and they can't find rest and they need something and they come wake me up from my sleep, they come and they ask, Mom, help me. Right? And then I can offer them something that they couldn't do for themselves to make the evening or the night go better. So when we encounter Christ in our disruptions, we find everything we need to keep moving from assignment to assignment. So number three, so we have to learn to encounter Christ in the middle of our disruptions. In this space between assignments, Christ is there to reveal to us more about who he is and how we can grow. See, when we're finding these rest moments inside the boat, rest doesn't mean that there's no growth. It's oftentimes where we find the most growth is when we're resting. Doctors will tell you this. If your kid is like, the kids need sleep because their bodies are trying to grow. They have to rest so that they can grow, right? So when we're resting, we're not dormant. God is wanting to do something in us and through us. So even in our boat moments, God's going to do something in us to help us grow so that we can make it from assignment to assignment. So in this moment, they're there, Jesus is sleeping, and it says suddenly a storm came. I mean, the graphic's gone, but y'all saw it. That suddenly came a storm. They had to be away from shore, or they would have just gone back to shore, right? So they're still not very far. A storm comes, and they're out in the middle of this lake, and a storm comes, and Jesus is like falling asleep quick. I think this suddenly means that Jesus was out, like instantly he was out, and a storm came, and then we know that the disciples are panicking. Like when you look up the Greek about them screaming, like, Jesus, why, we're perishing. When you look it up, they're actually meaning they screeched like crows. They were like in sheer terror and panic. They were flipping out. And they wake Jesus, and Jesus arises from his sleep and says, oh, you of little faith. And what that actually means, when you dive into the Greek there, it says, oh, you, why are you lacking such confidence in me? And then he stands up and he acts in authority and he brings everything back to peace. Amanda, if y'all want to come. Jesus was on the boat. He was sleeping right there beside them, and they still panicked. I also want to be clear that the boats aren't huge. I had a picture of it. Like, they're big, but they're not ships. A ship can't fit on this, right? So they're close by Jesus. They can see him sleeping. And they're right there with the Savior who they just watched do crazy miracles, and they still panicked. And here's the thing is, I think it would be really easy. I've done this before. I read the Bible, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're with Jesus. Why are they panicking? I would not panic, but I don't know that that's true because I panic over everything. Not really, but a lot. Brad's like, yes, she does. And here's the other part. Most of those men that were on the boat with Jesus, they were fishermen. They knew the waters backwards and forwards. They could look at the sky and know for a distance if a storm was coming. They could tell by the wind when a storm was coming. And they get on this boat, probably not expecting a storm, or they probably wouldn't have got on the boat that night or that day. And so the storm comes, and this out of nowhere, probably, and it's so strong and so big that it is scaring the fishermen, the experts, to death. They're invoked with the fear of death at their doorstep. They were scared to death, and they're professionals. And sometimes when I read the scripture, I don't know, maybe you don't read scripture like this. Sometimes when I read the scripture, I almost kind of have a little bit of shame towards the disciples for panicking and having such little faith since Jesus was right there. He might have been sleeping, but he was just right there. But I think if we look at it just a bit differently, just like when my sons wake me up in the middle of the night and while I might be tired, I would be sad if they didn't. The disciples knew in their moment of terror, when they thought they were at the end of their rope, everything was going to be lost, they knew exactly who to turn to. And they didn't know what to do. And they thought it was all finished. They turned to Jesus, and they may have screamed like crows, but they said, Jesus, you have to help us. And Jesus wasn't shaming them for lack of faith. What he was uncovering was the area they needed to grow in. He wanted to grow their faith in who he was. So he said, oh, ye of little faith, why are you lacking such confidence in me? And he revealed to them just a little bit more about who he is and how they can grow in trusting him a little bit more. And then after that, he calmed the sea, and he revealed to them another thing that seemed so impossible, yet it was possible with him, that even the winds and the waves obey him. And in the middle of our boat moments, in the sacred rest between assignments, while we're trying to fulfill our God-given purpose, there might be disruptions. And there might be things that make us think we don't know how we're going to get through this, or we're not going to make it to the end, or how is this ever going to work out. But when we press into Jesus and we say, Jesus, I don't know how to do this. I'm panicking. He shows us something about where he would like us to grow. And he reveals to us something about him and who he is so that we can trust him just a little bit more. Remember, you were created on purpose, for a purpose, to impact the kingdom. And that purpose has assignments attached to it. And those assignments, again, we will be held accountable for, because there are people waiting on the other side of our obedience. But between those assignments, we must find rest. Can't be surprised when a storm or a disruption comes, or when the enemy sends his fiery darts our way. When we find ourselves in the middle of a situation we can't do anything about, and in the middle of those sacred spaces, maybe you don't even feel like you can get to that sacred space, I don't know, in the weekly rest, in the nightly rest, and it feels restless, or if you're disrupted there, just press into him. Say, Jesus, I need you. Like that song says, all I have is a hallelujah. When you can't say anything else, say that. Or just say his name. Just press in. And he will reveal to us where we need to grow. And he will show us something about himself that we never knew. Even in all of our emotions, we can go to him and say, save me, help me. And his authority will step in and move and bring it all to peace. So tonight they're going to pray, or they're going to sing. And we're going to be available to pray with you if you would like prayer about anything. It doesn't matter. Any opportunity that we get to put, I'll just tell you, put my arms around you and pray and speak life over whatever it is that you're walking through. It is my honor. So we're here to help stand in the gap and pray for you and with you tonight.